Pushkin.
I'm Malcolm Gladwell. This is Broken Record. And this episode is me and the Love Junkies at Sony Tree Studios in Nashville. I'd call it an interview, except I didn't really interview them. I felt like I just sat in the corner laughing and made sure the tape was running.
I know boyfriend found me last week. And I have you have
That's
to hear.
That's the best line of a song right there.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to write a song
ready.
Watch this, called Malcolm. Boyfriends.
Are you ready?
And we're
going
to tell.
Hillary,
but,
just sing that with what you're playing.
Oh, well, I'm playing Girl Crush now.
I know, but like this is how. This is
that first voice, the one talking about an old boyfriend, is Liz Rose. The one who said, "That's the line of a song right there," is Lori McKenna. The one playing guitar who said, "She's playing Girl Crush," is Hillary Lindsay. Hillary is the one who helped Lady Gaga go country on A Million Reasons. Lori McKenna has written for greats like Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, and Reba McEntire. Liz co-wrote over half the songs on Taylor Swift's debut album. They are three of the best songwriters working in Nashville today. And every now and again, they hang out and write songs together as the Love Junkies. We caught a glimpse of how they work when they were setting up, and Lori and Hillary decided that Liz's chance encounter with an old boyfriend deserved to be turned into a song.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
How
I'm doing.
Okay, keep going.
Wait, keep going. Keep going. Why are you stopping?
You have a step down.
You broke my heart, burned up my car.
But is that G?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is it?
Oh, I'm in deck end. That's fine.
Smoke my smokes.
Broke my heart.
Yeah.
Where is he from?
He's from my hometown. So weird. It's so weird.
Your hometown of what?
Like, yeah. He was like my first from in Irving. Old boyfriends.
Boyfriend. Well, old boyfriend is a whole
nother thing. By the way, Card rhymes with Arkansas. You say he's in Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Now?
Says he lives in Arkansas. See, you are a songwriter.
All right, start from the beginning.
All right. All right.
If we're doing, that's a different song, though. Old boyfriend. That was more serious.
Old boyfriend. Maybe it's like
ouchy. It's like you can't let them go. You know what I mean?
Well, and it's
they
like...
follow you around.
You don't, no matter how, if he broke your heart, it's not as, doesn't hurt as bad as you. You know, because like, he really screwed me over. And he was such a mess. But now I'm like, I have this like, friendly, soft spot in my heart for him. You know, and he's telling me about all our friends that have died. And, you know, and I said.
Well, it's a history with someone that you don't ever have. Like.
Yeah, and his older sister was in love with my brother. So, and like my first car date was with him and my brother. But it's just weird because I said, wow, all these people were dying. I said, I'm scared. And he goes, oh, hell, Liz, we're still here. We're fine. So funny.
Wait, isn't that your chorus?
I don't.
Your chorus is, we're still here. We're fine.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
He lived in this house with a bunch of friends, and we'd go over there and drink and get high. And I wrecked my parents' car there. I think he backed into it, and I lied. But it was like this house where everybody did drugs, and we drank. And I didn't realize this, but they called it the Spread Eagle Ranch. Ooh. And I did not realize it until maybe 5 years ago when I thought about
That's
it.
That's terrible.
That is terrible.
That's terrible.
Wait a minute. What kind of eagle was it?
What?
It was like a black eagle.
But
like
it's funny things that you think about. I mean, that you go, oh, my God. Why did they call it that?
You couldn't have named that shit that now in the Me Too.
No, but I'm just saying.
I'm
embarrassed right now. Tell
you sure it wasn't called the American Eagle Ranch?
No, that's not what they
that's
called it.
That's a different
it.
One, yeah.
And it took me 50 years to get the joke. But
that is
anyway,
hilarious.
You don't. It just brings back all those things. Yeah. I was like 16 years
I
old.
I do like
and all that comes back.
All my friend family this way.
Love that.
Rest in peace. Oh,
Old boyfriend found me last week.
This is what she does. She points at us a lot.
Right back to old history, ancient history.
Yeah, brought back all that history. Bringing up that history.
Brought back all that history.
I'm not
history.
Bad at ancient history. That's pretty cool.
Ancient
though.
History.
We are old.
No, but even a young person would say that because it feels like ancient
yeah.
history.
Right?
All my friends found me last week.
Too rhyming.
I don't know.
No, I like it, but.
Brought back ancient history. And suddenly I was 16. Again.
Sitting in the front seat.
In the back seat.
Smoking
with
in
him.
The front seat.
You ain't sitting in the back seat.
Laying what? In the back seat.
Laying
with
in
him.
The back
no.
seat.
No.
Liz, you just yes, said you it was were. Called the Spread Eagle Ranch.
And it rocks. I like that, dude.
Maybe it is. Let's just be honest.
So suddenly
smoking
I
in the back
six,
seat.
Smoking in the back seat is nice.
Again. Smoking in the back seat with him. That's what I was trying to tell you.
You're so good.
Oh shit!
Oh my god!
Okay. Well,
anyway,
we gotta start.
I'm sure you have other things to
sorry.
Do.
This is fantastic. This is fantastic. This is so much better than anything else.
Smoking in the backseat.
We have to move on. Yeah, I think we're gonna yeah. remember that. Adam, do you have a recording of that we can steal from yeah. you? Thank you.
Wait, how did you guys meet?
They knew each other first, right?
Yeah, we'd been writing for 5 years. Maybe.
Liz was one of the first. So when I came to town, I got a publishing deal in 2005, and I had never co-written a song.
You came down here from Boston.
Yeah, I came like I got a publishing deal, so I came down to do trips. I never lived here, but I just would fly down.
Yeah.
And my publisher was like, "Well, you should co-write songs," and I had never done it. I'd just been writing just. I just seemed so difficult to try to do this with other people. Mm-hmm. And so my first co-write, I think, was Mark D. Sanders. And Liz was maybe my third or fourth person they put me
life.
In a room with. And really over the couple of years following, she taught me how to co-write a song. Like, I didn't know. I was in Mark D. Like, I had just great people they put me with in the beginning that taught me how the process works, and I literally fell in love with it. Like so we had written a bunch. You guys had written.
Not together.
We had written, oddly enough, and never actually sat in a room with yeah. each other because she had started a song with Taylor Swift, and then Taylor came to my house to write one day, just Taylor and I, and she was like, "Hey, do you want to maybe help me out with this song that I started with Liz Rose?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I don't really know Liz. I don't want Liz to hate me. I don't know if this is a good idea." And she's like, "Liz won't care. Liz won't care." And I'm like, "Oh my God, are you sure?"
I thought it was awesome.
And so we did. And
what was the song?
It's called Fearless. And it actually became the title of her record.
Title of the tour.
And so we actually gave each other massive hugs and really met each other for the first time at the album release party. Do you remember that? Or was it her birthday party? Or something. Remember, we took photos together in the photo booth.
It was at the birthday at her party.
Yeah, like right before the record had come out or something. We're like, wrote a
so.
Song together.
I know.
Nice to meet you.
Because if you hadn't done that, that song may not have mm-hmm. been finished, and it may not have been the title or even mm-hmm. made the record.
How does it start? Will you play the beginning of it?
And I don't know how it gets better than this. You take my hand and drag me head first, fearless. In a storm, but with you I dance in a storm in my best dress, fearless.
Very good. That was good.
God, that was bad.
Wait, so
was
really so bad. Just so I get the chronology here, Liz and Lori, you guys meet, and then Liz and Hillary meet, mm-hmm. and then, but when does the whole threesome?
So then we met too separately.
We had written, we wrote a song, it probably 2006. We had one day together, Hillary and I.
Yes,
and then
and I was terrified.
I was terrified. We're all afraid of each other.
And she and I had only written one song after that.
Yeah.
Together.
And, but what happened
because
was.
She had made a record, and I was a massive fan, and I was scared to go into the room with her because she's a genius. And it was just the two of us, and I had to sit there alone. And I got all prepared before I went in trying to impress her with this idea. And I don't think
it was
good.
It was a really good idea. It was like the paint on the wall. remember, but I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was, House I remember, Poor. House Poor. Who doesn't want to hear a song called House Lord. Poor?
All right.
And I was totally House Poor. But so then, because I come here 3 days at a time, I come in usually once or twice a month, 3 days at a time. I think what ultimately happened to get us together, and I always stay at Liz's house. And I think what happened was our publishers were like, hey, Laurie and Liz have 3 days together. Let's throw Hillary in and like see have her. Because getting 3 days in a row with Hillary or Liz is really difficult.
Oh, Lori.
And I'm only here like 3 or 6 days a month. So like, let's just put them 3 days together. And Liz was saying and was living in a condo, this beautiful condo that it was just wonderful. And
Liz's children are all grown. And Lori, of course, at, you know, being in Nashville is away from her kids. And I was childless at that point. So we just had total freedom. It was like,
yeah,
everybody spend the night, stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning if you want to, write all the way till 3, stop at 7, watch a movie, what, you know, just whatever. Wake up in the morning, make eggs, keep writing. Like, it was really free.
Yeah,
we didn't have a whole lot of
ties.
Have,
when you write together, do you have roles? Is there, who's the adult in the room?
The adult in the room.
Lori's the adult.
I am most certainly the adult in the room.
I feel like it shifts.
It does, it shifts.
We do.
I feel like, but I mean, probably in general across the, yes, you are, in general.
We've been through a lot together.
Sometimes, this is what we do, is somebody has to be the artist of the song, and each song is different. Our roles will change. Yeah. We'll write 2 songs in a day, and the roles will change between the songs. And somebody's the artist, somebody is the therapist, somebody is the cheerleader, and someone is the
sleeper.
Someone is the sleeper, but we do a lot of things that are great for one another because we love each other. But what we do best, I think, for each other is we keep each other 100% honest. Mm-hmm. And I think if any one of us says a line that someone else doesn't believe, we'll be like, that's not how you would say it. Or you know what I mean? And there's no way any of us could ever say something that the other one would be like, that's dumb. Because we have so much respect for each other.
It's just really open. It's not critical. It's not judgy. Nobody's judging anybody. And we don't, I mean, you saying all of those things that we all are at different times, like, I mean, we've never honestly had this conversation. So it's not like we've ever analyzed that before. But the roles do shift, but it's never discussed.
No.
It just naturally happens, you know?
And that's what we do as co-writers. That's what we do. Like every day that these two show up in a room, it's you know, usually there's an artist there, so you feel you find your spot somewhere else. And that's, I think, what we all love about co-writing.
Do you, when you know you're getting together, do you on your own prepare? Are you bringing material to the group?
Or
you,
we always have.
She always
the adult does.
Does.
The adult does.
Yes. The adult does.
I feel guilty that I claim
the
adult.
I buy the food and the wine.
The reason
I prepare.
I type everything. I am the secretary is really what I am. But
I scribble.
I think we all always have a lot of ideas. But what we're really also good at, I'm not as good as these guys are, but like if I have an idea that I don't know what it means yet, they're both brilliant at like, maybe it's this. And that happens to me all the time where I don't know. I have a title maybe, but I don't know what to do with it. Or I have a verse maybe, but then I start hating myself at home by myself. And I'm like, I'll just show it to the girls and see. And then they might be, that needs some fixing. Or they'll be like, oh my God, we have to finish it. And that happens to all of us sometimes.
Or what if this could mean this? Or what if this could mean that, you know, just talking it out.
When you think back on the stuff you've written together, is there a song that was magic? I mean, when I say magic, like just came together and you're all like, wow.
It was probably Girl Crush.
That's happened a couple of times.
Tell me about
In my age.
Oh,
But
you already had so much of that.
But the greatest thing to me about My Age is that she started, I was on the other side of the room, I was playing the piano, but I started singing something and Liz was never heard it before and singing along with me. And I remember you looking at her like, how do you know these words? But she knows me so well, she knew what I was going to say. And then Hillary says, no, that's done. You got to finish it. But I had no chorus. I didn't know what to do with it. And she started singing a chorus, and then we had no hook. And then this one, Hillary says, well, it could be this. This is terrible, but it could be this. And as soon as she said it, we all cried like babies. And to me, that was magical. Girl Crush,
that was magical.
Pure magic.
Can you sing that for me?
She kind of does this one by herself. I can attempt to sing harmony with you, but
let me see if I'm
in tune. When we tried it on the Opry, it was a nightmare.
No, it wasn't.
All join in. I want you to all join in.
You sang harmony and I sang with her.
Do that, Liz.
Is that what we ended up doing or did we bail?
You sang harmony and I sang, I just doubled her.
Oh, I haven't done this in a minute.
You got real soft, remember?
Yeah.
Remember?
You
remember
that, Hillary?
Remember when we played the Opry?
Oh, God.
Liz, before you play the whole thing.
Yes.
Just play me the little bit you had when you started.
Okay. So I had the verse. What I had was the essentially the first and the last verse, and I couldn't find a chorus at home. I tried and tried and tried. And I knew, and I think this happens to all of us, I knew that sometimes songs, before we even have almost anything, this happens to me, and I'm sure it happens to you guys, sometimes they'll make me cry, like just sitting there. Like I know there's something, but I don't know what to do. And usually, if left alone, I can figure it out eventually. And I had this for like weeks, and I did try and I tried and I tried. But what I had was this. I'll play you this. When you're my age, I hope the world is kinder than it seems to be right now. And I hope the front page isn't just a reminder of how we keep letting each other down. When I was your age, things didn't seem to be this hard. Riding bikes out on the street, playing tag in the backyard. So I played that for them on the piano. And she started singing the chorus, because literally
it was it was the weirdest thing.
It was wild. At that point, we were sitting on the couch. Yeah. We had gotten off of the piano.
Because I can't really play the piano, but because I was just showing them.
And Hillary was saying, "Laura, you just need to finish that song because you."
I felt like
song.
She had written so much saying, of it. I didn't. I felt like it was wrong.
Well, what
to
happened
take
was,
a piece of it or do anything with it because I felt like she would figure it out on her own.
But I had, like I said, I had tried. And when I think when I got to riding bikes out on the street, she was like somehow singing along with me.
I don't know.
And I remember you saying to her, like, how do you know this song?
Wait, and then, so you did the chorus, Hillary.
She started,
she started the chorus.
She said, you'll outgrow your shoes, you'll outgrow your bed.
So, no, wait, Liz. Will you sing that little thing that came to you?
Playing tag in the backyard.
You'll outgrow your shoes, you'll outgrow your bed, you'll outgrow this house. Just don't forget when you're all grown up that you don't feel that way. You're still gonna be my baby. Even when you're my age.
So we didn't have the hook. We didn't have the, you're still going to be my baby even when you're my age.
And that was Hillary.
Yeah. And she said, this is dumb, but I'm just going to say it. And as soon as she said, well, you could say, you're still going to be my baby even when you're my age. And we were all like, oh my God. And now all of us, we did get to sing that on the Opry one night. And we've sung it together a couple of times. And it's hard to get through the whole song without losing it because we all have
to think about
at this point
something completely. You cannot let yourself think about it when you're singing it. Or it's one of those songs that I call them the make you want to throw up songs because it hurts so bad.
And it's like it's so funny because we all are in a different stage in our lives. So Lori's writing it for her kids, for her your grown kids, and your Hillary's writing it from a brand new mother perspective.
She's 3 years old, so it just really makes me sick to my stomach.
And I came up with that from my 2-year-old grandson.
Yeah.
Because I'm always buying him shoes. But also that my mother's 95 and she still call, I'm the youngest of six and she still calls me her baby. Mm-hmm. She still says that to me. Yeah. You're my baby.
My dad does too.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's just too painful. Can we change the subject?
No,
I just want to say, like, to me, like, not to get all religious about it, but I tried for about a month to find where that song, and I, you know what I mean? And I just know that I was supposed to sing it, that verse for them, and they were supposed to be part of that with me. Like, I just know that creatively something stopped me from being able to find where it was supposed to go because we were supposed to write it together.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I never
thought
about
totally
that.
I just totally believe that, which is such a gift, I think, because I love them so much. And we have had moments where if we weren't sharing the moment together, it would still be great. I think but having the experience together is, it just makes it so much more to us.
You have to sing the whole song now.
Oh, now I'm crying.
I know.
No, it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. This is not be perfect.
How many people cry on your podcast?
I'm going to be crying too, by the way. Sorry. I'm going to move away from the mic.
Should we do it right now? Or
yes.
Yes.
Do you want a Kleenex, Liz?
No, I'm okay. I'll just slobber on my shirt.
When we come back, Lori, Liz, and Hillary play their song, My Age. We're back with a performance of My Age from the Love Junkies, Lori, Liz, and Hillary.
From the top?
Yes.
Okay.
When you're my age, I hope the world is kinder than it seems to be right now. And now up the front page isn't just a reminder of how we keep letting each other down. When I was your age, things didn't seem to be this hard. Riding bikes out on the street, playing tag in the backyard. You'll outgrow your shoes, you'll outgrow your bed, you'll outgrow this house. Just don't forget when you're all grown up, but you don't feel that way. You're still baby, even when you're my age. When you're my age, still be full of questions that I wish I had the answers to right now. And those dark times might make you second guess it, I bet love will still be making the world go round. When I was your age, I didn't worry like I think you do. Back then, innocence was something you could hold on to. You'll outgrow your shoes, you'll outgrow your bed, you'll outgrow house. Just don't forget when you're all grown up, but you don't feel that way. You're still gonna be my baby, yeah. Even when you're my age. Have kids someday, I hope you teach them the Lord's Prayer before they go to bed at night, like my daddy did for me and his mother before him. Something about it just keeps you right. And I hope you don't work too much overtime, so you can be right there beside them when they close their little eyes. 'Cause they'll outgrow their shoes, they'll outgrow their beds, they'll outgrow that house, and you can't stop it. Life will line your face, time will turn the page, but they're still gonna be your babies, just like you're still gonna be my baby. Even when you're my age,
started at the end.
I get Chris out here just moved away and I'm like, don't think about the sun. But thoughts of like you asked, have we had magical moments? Like we, the fact that we got to create that together, it's just so magical to me.
I love the idea that each of you, Hillary, you're.
Because she is still a baby. And so I'm just like, oh my God, I can just see her right now.
That's why we can't look at each other. It's so funny. This is when we get mad at each other, when we say, we're like, are you seriously going to make me sing that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
But that idea that all of you approach that song from a different perspective is so magical.
We've always done that as writers together, because when we first started writing a lot together, we were like, we're about 10 years apart, each of us. There's like a 8 to 10 year thing. And it was like, never been married a couple
four times.
And married to one person a very long time. So we have such
guess
different
which
stories.
Which one has been married to the same person a very long time?
The adult.
I know someone's going to make me a t-shirt now that says the
adult. I totally want to make you that.
I always like our, if we're all standing on a ledge.
Right.
When we try and make a decision.
Explain that.
You explain it because you explain it better.
I think you do.
You do it better.
Well, we've had opportunities. We've been approached for things a couple of times. It's like, should we? And we all get on a three-way conference call because we're not together. And it's like, well, should we do this? And we all think so differently. Like if we are all standing looking over a ledge and it's like, well, should we jump? Because we heard it's pretty awesome down there. Like we can't see anything. We don't know. And Liz is like, let's jump. And Hillary's like, well, who else has jumped? Like, do we know like the logistics of
and
this?
And if we and don't jump, somebody else will. Yes, so maybe we should go ahead and jump.
And then I'm like, well, how long is it going to take us to jump? I have a flight in 20. Like, we all hit it. We all want the same things in life, but we all see those things so differently and calculate our things so differently.
Yeah.
Or not calculate at all.
Or jump and then
see. It's been married four times. jump in, jump out.
Wait, should we do the other magical moment? So tell me more about Girl Crush.
It was one of our 3 days together, and it was the second day? I guess it was the second day because it was morning.
She had been there, yeah.
And Lori and I were in the kitchen, and she was making coffee and we were waiting for Hillary to get up, and Lori said, hey, I got an idea today. I think I want to write a song called Girl Crush. And I immediately, without even thinking, said no, which is something I'm working on, by the way.
She would have jumped again. You know, this is her jumping.
I jump. No. And she's like, no, it'll be really cool. It's about, and I was like, no, that's stupid. And we need cuts. And we're not writing Girl Crush. That sounds too hard to write. And how are we going to do it? And no, Lori, that's dumb. And literally, I think I said that's, I just said no.
I think I'm more worried about we only had 2 hours.
Yeah, and we only had 2 hours
but
to write.
But weren't y'all talking about how it was maybe, did I make this
We
my
weren't
head?
Talking about it at all. I just
we
said
did
no.
We did not discuss
what it was. So it
wasn't
like when you have,
no.
like when somebody's doing something really no. great or any Mm-mm. of that.
Nothing. She said Girl Crush, I said no. She said Girl Crush, I said no. Yeah, literally.
Like just now when you said no. That's not how it went. That's how it went.
That's how it went down.
Just like that.
Hillary came in the room and Lori turned around and said, Hillary, I have a song idea. I want to write a song called Girl Crush. And I didn't even have time to give her a dirty look because Hillary picked up the guitar and went, you mean kind of like this? And she did this.
And I did.
Okay. I got a girl crush. I hate to admit it, but I got a heart rush and it ain't slowing down.
That's it.
Literally. We jumped on the couch and went, that's exactly it.
She lifted her head and she said, you mean like that? She looked at me like, you mean like that? Because I had, you know, said those two words. And I looked at Liz and Liz opened her notebook, the very famous notebook. And we're like, yeah, that's what we mean.
That's what we mean.
Not one lick of discussion about what it means. And that was.
It flowed out. We were done in an hour. It just fell out. And
some genius coming through her face. I wasn't thinking.
I have no idea when where you it came did from. That. Clearly it came from God. That did not come out of my mind. I wasn't thinking, you know.
And we didn't get in the way with it because I remember when you said, I want to taste her lips. Yeah, because they taste like you.
And we thought no one will cut this.
I was like, okay, y'all are getting really sexy. But we didn't know. No, we never thought about what it was. Those were the lines that were supposed to be in the song. Yeah. And we knew that it was, I'm jealous. I want to be this girl.
Because she has you.
Yeah.
I want you, so I'm jealous of her.
So it made perfect sense to us once we figured out.
It
just fell out.
Flying out.
Mm-hmm.
It started to write itself. It was making sense to us once, you know, it was like a puzzle. The pieces kept coming, and then it's like, oh, that's what this song is.
Yeah.
Did the two of you both have your guitars at that moment, or is it just you on the guitar?
It was just me at that moment.
Yeah.
The other crazy thing about it is that if you look at the notebook on the left-hand side, there are only like 5 or 6 words on it because it happened so fast. And it fell out so fast that there were no wasted words. There were no.
That means pretty much everything that was said in the room went
in the song.
In the song.
Can you explain this? I think it's
because Hillary's a genius.
Psh, no.
And I think it's because we're safe with one another 100%, even when she didn't say that's a dumb idea to me, but
I didn't say it's a dumb idea. I just said no, that sounds hard.
And my feelings weren't hurt, you know what I mean? Because I know where she's coming from and I think we're in an environment in that moment where that could come through her and it did. If we had a video of it, I would watch it every day because it's just magical to think about it.
But typically with songwriters, you hear this a lot, that the ones that just kind of fall out of them and the ones that happen so fast and they don't know really where it came from either are a lot of times the ones that become the big hits for them. You know, the ones that sometimes stand the test of time. You hear that all the time. And I'm sure you've had it happen before, and you've had it happen before, and I've had it happen before with other songs, too. It's a very rare occurrence. I wish it happened more than it did. But I really don't know. I know for me, the setting was that I definitely felt free and comfortable. I was at peace. But I don't know why. I don't know why that happened. I don't know how that happened.
How far into this? So we have this magic moment.
Mm-hmm.
How far into the moment? Were you sure it was going to work? Like,
we didn't think anyone was going to like it. We thought nobody would ever cut it.
We wrote a cool song.
We for really we liked the song a lot.
Yeah,
but that's kind of all we thought was probably.
We weren't sure if it was going to make
sense.
Well,
this is going to be a massive.
No, we never say that. We played it for Scott. I think he brought us lunch or something, and he got it. And
we played it for Liz's son, who brought us lunch, because we didn't know if it, because sometimes when you're talking about the song so much, it makes sense to us because we're all sitting here talking about what we're going to say. And then you don't, you have to go back and be like, but will it make sense to someone listening mm-hmm. that doesn't know what we're talking about? Mm-hmm. And he got it. He's like, of course it makes sense. It makes total sense.
Wait a
well,
minute.
The point is that yeah. there's a lot of rejection. So, lots and a lot of times the ones that you think are really cool, I mean, you're just a little bit afraid that that might be too cool for like radio or something. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like nobody's going to want it because maybe it's not commercial enough. Like not too cool. That's probably the wrong way of saying it, but just not commercial enough, not radio friendly enough.
Yeah.
You know, so we loved the song, but we just didn't really know if it would ever get cut.
And then once it was cut, it wasn't supposed to be a single. That
yeah, it
song.
Wasn't even. Yeah.
But what happened was after Little Big Town cut it, we were getting text messages and phone calls from other writers in town that had heard it and be like, man, that song's cool. Like for you to come up with a new way to say a story about jealousy, which we, again, was not
like,
thought through.
Awesome.
so we knew that like our peers.
And that's the biggest
appreciated
compliment
that song
ever
and,
when your peers tell you.
That's so yeah. thrilling to any of us. Mm.
And
I
then
think,
press started. And everybody was wanting to, the press yeah. about the new album, they were all calling us wanting to talk about Girl Crush.
But it was not supposed to be a single. I don't believe mm-hmm. it was supposed mm-hmm. to be a single.
Oh, a fourth single. Remember? Uh-huh.
Hey, right, I'm gonna make you guys play it now.
Okay. All right. I got a girl crush. I hate to admit it, but I got a heart rush. Slowing down. I got it real bad. I want everything she has. That smile and that midnight laugh she's giving you now. I wanna taste her lips. Yeah, 'cause they taste like.
We'll be back with more from the Love Junkies and another song after the break. We're back with Liz, Lori, and Hillary, the Love Junkies.
You know what's interesting with that song is that listening to you sing it here in person, mm-hmm. it suddenly becomes a grown-up song. It's like a serious...
I think we make everything seem a little sadder.
Maybe so.
Than maybe others. Because sometimes you'll get a video of someone singing it like at a wedding or... You know, some like not Karen, but someone else, and it does seem a little.
Well, it is
when
interesting
we do
though.
Sober,
I mean,
it's sadder than when.
But that is a sad situation. I mean, she's
sad.
Somebody's got the man she loves. I mean, you know, if you really think about it like that, I never really thought about it as being sad either. But I guess it is.
No,
I mean,
but you know
is.
Why I say that? Because I had maybe it's because you guys are singing it in front of me.
Yeah.
It's a grown woman saying she has the feeling that a adolescent has, as opposed to an adolescent saying, I'm having adolescent feelings.
Oh, that's
right?
Interesting.
So now it's like, that gives it makes it even more powerful. I've been transported back to that horrible place in my adolescence when I had these irrational, powerful, emotional feelings. And that's what's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
I'm 45 years old and I feel like I'm 16. Like that's to me what-
I can see that girl right now.
Yeah, I can too.
In the swimming pool.
I can see her right now, too. I saw her when I looked in the mirror this morning.
No, this brings me to this other thing I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about what a country song is these days. Is that a country song? Does it matter? Maybe it doesn't matter, but I'm sort of curious.
I think it's just a song.
I mean, I'm sure some people would say it does matter, but from a writing perspective, we just try to just write a song.
Yeah.
Like we, you know what I mean? Try not to think too much about that. Kind of thing. Sometimes when you get in the studio, that will kind of play a little bit more into it because you have to pick like different instrumentation and stuff. So that might make it a little more pop sounding or a little more country sounding. But as far as like when we're just sitting around with guitars, we just really just try to write a good song.
You don't feel like you belong to a tradition where you're acting within a particular genre. You just...
She writes. I mean, she can write anything, but we are writing in a particular genre.
Yeah, we are.
That's why we write in Nashville. That's why we embrace this community. I mean, the best songwriters in the world are in Nashville, Tennessee. So that's how we feel, and that's why people come from every genre to this town to write with Nashville songwriters. So, But I do believe we belong to a genre. Although we can step out and do other things.
Yeah, of course.
We are country songwriters and...
But that day when we wrote that specific song, we weren't like, let's write a country song. Like, you know, it was just like, let's write a song with this title.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like we were trying to necessarily conform to anything.
Is there a song that you guys have done, either individually or collectively, that feels like a real country song to you?
Well... We never finished it, but remember, and I'm sure we have another, y'all can answer that better, but that just popped in my head. Remember the last time we all got together? It was the day we did the Opry that night, and so we wrote at my house.
I was just looking at that. What's it called?
And I can't remember. She had the title, and we were saying how somebody said, let's try to write it more in a, like, traditional
country
mm-hmm. way.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't finish it, though.
Patsy is country.
Do you remember
country.
Any part
Patsy
of that song?
Patsy is very country.
Do you remember it, Lori?
It wasn't the, I should have known better, but now I do. I don't know.
I think that is what it was.
Yeah, it was like.
But it had more of a country thing.
What was the hook?
It was something like, I should know better, but I don't. Or something like that.
Something like that.
That feels a little country. Yeah.
And it's sometimes, and it's funny because I think Girl Crush is kind of very country. It's that, you know, Hillary leans towards 6/8 a lot, the tempo of that song.
I have issues with that.
Although she can do any tempo, but that's where that landed and that whole, like, just kind of waltzy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But Girl Crush as a title sounds like it could be really pop.
Yeah,
but it's also a Motown sort of throwback thing too.
I was going to say it felt a little R&B-ish.
There's all that too going on with it. So
that's
you know.
And when you look at the production, the Little Big Town production of that song, there's so much restraint in that. You know, there's so much that isn't there that is so necessarily beautiful, like just so necessary now and so beautiful that Jay Joyce and the band did in recording that song. Like they should, they could have gone to town and they didn't. And it's just so perfect the way they, the way that, that it ended up.
Yeah, we were lucky that we actually never made it into the studio to demo that.
We never demoed it.
Yeah. So they cut it just off of the work tape on our iPhone, just like us sitting there singing on that.
Why do you say you were lucky?
Because we might have messed up the daggum demo. We might have, the production of it, we might have, who knows? Or we might have nailed it, but who knows? Like they got to take it into the studio and create the sound around it, you know? So.
The other thing that interests me is what it means for a woman to write a song. Do you, how much of your music couldn't be played by a man?
Or could not be performed by a man?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, for me personally, like, it's, you know, when I'm writing, like with the two of them, we typically, you know, lean towards writing women songs. Clearly we're women. We have sat in the room before and tried to write, we call them dude songs.
Wait, did you ever, have you ever?
We're not very good at that. No, we're not very
Do you remember any, can you pay me a little bit of a dude song? I just want to hear. Can you think of one?
Well, Sober, I bet, was written for
a copper tone and chlorine.
Yeah, well, copper tone and chlorine.
That song is partying though. I love that song.
Wait, can you play it?
No.
Oh, we can probably, if we can find it on our, if we can find a demo. Let me see.
Yeah, we have a demo.
You don't remember it well enough to. No. I guess you guys, how many songs have you guys written together?
Oh, a ton now.
Wild is her favorite color.
Oh, yeah, play that.
But that could still be a girl song.
Yeah, but it's really, but it's a
girl. But we wrote it with Chris Stapleton in our heads.
Yeah.
What was that other one like? Something about the boat thing? Anchor here, drop anchor.
Drop anchor.
Yeah.
Yeah, here. Yeah.
But which one am I looking up? I might not be
able to. You literally declare up front that it's time to write a dude song? Is that?
No. We had a little phase where we tried to do that and it was and it was fun.
But it wasn't like we declared it. It was more like somebody might have a title and it was like, oh, that's kind of sounds like a dude title. And there are a lot of dudes cutting right now. Yeah. It's like that kind of thing.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know what I mean? When we're when we put on our business hats, it can go there sometimes.
We got to pay for our sneakers, you know.
You ready to get your mind blown?
Oh, no.
This might be really bad.
Oh, okay.
What year was this?
I don't know.
Not too long ago. A couple of years.
I like this song.
I love this song.
This song is so cool.
Christian Bush cut it.
No, we can't, baby. Let's jump in the swimming pool.
Join the sea of party fool. Wait, guys, sing along. Come on, sing along.
No, we get to it.
Kiss me underwater. But
it'll only make it hotter. Come on.
Copper tone and chlorine. Yeah, this is so sweet.
So sweet.
You and me, chemistry, copper tone and chlorine.
Yeah. You missed a spot on your back, baby.
I mean, I'm sorry. That song is awesome.
Can you believe that song has not been cut? Can you believe it?
I mean, I actually really love that song.
I kind of think it's great,
joking,
too.
But it Wait,
it's never
smile.
Been cut?
We should.
Well, has it been cut? I don't
Christian
think
Bush cut.
Cut
it, but he did. I don't think
like
he ever
Jake
put
Owen
it out.
Jake Owen would be amazing.
Oh, Jake Owen, are you
Jake
listening?
Owen. Jake Owen.
Tim?
Tim
who else?
Would be amazing.
I think Tim's heard it. I think his people have heard it anyway.
Little Big Town.
Yeah. It's a good song, right?
You're pitching songs.
Yeah.
Drop a tone and chlorine.
You guys have so much fun together. How do you go back to writing by yourself? Isn't it sort of sad?
I don't.
I mean,
she does a lot. She writes a lot by herself. I honestly don't write by myself.
Well, I don't live here. So if I lived here, I would just call one of my friend. Or I would just have a, I also can't write every day. These guys write every day. Yeah. I cannot write every day. I'm not, my brain just isn't, I'm just not that smart. And I sort of have, that's why I think I, you know, if I do come in with, say, more titles, it's because I've been saving them up. Then you guys have to
write. I save titles for y'all.
But I mean, like, you guys write every day. So it's like, I think, I think I probably write, you know, 6 or 8 songs a month. And these guys, you know, it's probably double that.
How many do you write, Liz?
Oh, I write every day.
Every single day?
Just pretty much. Sometimes twice a day.
Not on the weekends.
Yeah. Except for 2 weekends ago, I wrote all weekend.
Why?
Because I had to.
So but, for me, I have to.
I got to. I mean, that's terrible because I had to. Poor me. But I mean, I think it's just opportunity. It's like, if you don't, somebody else will. Yeah. And I love doing it. It's fun. And like where most people go to lunch with their friends and go shopping, and our friendship, our girl time mm-hmm. is when we write. I mean, mm-hmm. my best friends came from this business. My best friends came from, you know, they're my best friends. And it's because we hang out together and we're very protective of each other and we love each other. And we're more sisters than co-writers. Mm-hmm. You know, so
you can get burnt out though by writing too much.
Like, you get burnt out on us,
not on our friendship, on writing every day. Like, yeah. I am sometimes very envious of Lori's life and being able to like step away from it and then come back into it and step away from it. And this, you know, because being here, it is like, well, somebody else is going to do it, so you can't drop the ball.
Well, and for me, being a publisher, different. I have to set an example for writers, but everybody's different. You know,
but Craig Wiseman used to always say, what is it? It's like a farmer. The more seeds you throw out there, the more crop you'll get. So there's that whole theory too of just having more songs.
And every day you wake up and go, oh, I've got to write today and there's nothing in my brain. And it's crazy. You walk in a room with nothing in your brain, and as soon as you hear music or somebody starts talking to you about something, suddenly this thing comes out and it's like, holy cow, where did that come from?
And to circle back around, that is why we probably don't write alone, because you wouldn't walk into a it wouldn't. You have to have the other people. I have to have the other people to help inspire and help. I mean, you know, we just feed off of each other, you know, so. But Lori writes geniusly by herself.
My favorite song in the world is still Your Next Lover. I love that song. That song is so brilliant. Sweet. Right?
Do you want I want you to play one last song together. Should we do that one?
Well, they don't know that one.
We don't know it.
Yeah.
What's one you can all sing together?
We could do Sober. What else can we do?
We could do
I have to think
Patsy.
About it.
We could do
I don't I have to think about Patsy. It's not my brain.
Lauren, you know, we played it before.
Patsy, you want me to play it?
Well, I cut
How
it
great to
tree,
be in the position you guys are. You've written so many successful songs you've forgotten.
Well, we...
No, it's not that you've written so many successful ones. It's that you've written so many. Yeah, because most of them are sitting on a shelf somewhere, on the computer shelf.
There it is.
That's it. You know it.
There's something weird, though. It might be Dave Cobb changed chords, but there's a weird chord thing somewhere. If it comes from the whiskey, then pour me a drink.
That's it, G. Yeah.
If it comes from the heartache, let me feel the sting. If it comes from the spirits, set loose in this room. Either way tonight, it's just me and the truth.
Truth, yep.
Yeah.
I want to sing it.
Pray it. Pray it to the Lord.
Yeah. I want to pray like Jesus is listening. I want to play it like I'm made of strings on. Last damn thing I'll ever say, and try to sing it like Patsy would.
Sometimes it's a blessing. Sometimes it's a curse. Let it keep me up all night, looking for the worst. Sometimes a pen knows just what to say, and it spills out like a waterfall on a clean black page. I wanna pray it like Jesus is listening. I wanna play it like I made a strings on wood. I wanna write it down like Hemingway, like it's the last damn thing I'll ever say. And try to sing it like Patsy could. I'm gonna try to sing it like Patsy.
Sorry.
We got through it.
And you were trying to tell me the chord, and I went to the wrong one. But that is a song about songs. So that is a song about how we feel about songwriting. Like, I want to pray it like Jesus, listen. I want to play it like it's all we have. And it's not a song for everybody, but I think people that love songs that have heard that song.
Why do you
like,
say it's not a song? Or
well, I don't know if everybody else can identify, because it's really about how we sit there and like we like. Some days a song is easy and it's there in the room and you can feel it in the room. And some days we just literally pour our hearts into it and we kind of fight it until it's right. And we that's why I can't do it every day, because like you have to like just, you know, give it your guts every day. And and so much of what we do never, and nobody hears it but us. And you can't let that weigh on you, because you got to pour your gut out the next day again. And that's what that song is, I think, for all of us. Like, I'm not the best singer in the world, but I'm going to sing, like, I'm going to give it my heart. You know what I mean? And that was a song I needed to write. And I saved for these two to write together. And we just had a ball writing it one night. We had a little whiskey, I think, or something. Wine? Maybe.
Yeah, whiskey.
We probably didn't have whiskey, but but that's the kind of thing we do together, because like we will save things for each other that we know, like I don't know how to do this, but these guys will. Mm-hmm. And that's an example mm-hmm. of that. I still don't know how to play it, obviously.
We did all right.
Many thanks to the Love Junkies, Liz Rose, Loie McKenna, and Hillary Lindsay for coming on Broken Record. We've put together a playlist of our favorite songs they've written on our website, brokenrecord.com. Broken Record is produced by Justin Richmond and Jason Gambrell, with help from Mia Lobel, Jacob Smith, Julia Barton, and Jacob Weisberg. Special thanks to my co-hosts, Rick Rubin and Bruce Hadlam. Our Broken Record theme music is by Kenny Beats. This show is brought to you by Pushkin Industries. I'm Malcolm Gladwell.